Hello there and welcome to my podcast number 2. I am very excited about this new venture of ours. And today I am with Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Alexa.
And should I say bonjour?
Bonjour.
Sarah just happens to speak French as well, so I'm quite excited about that one. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Ça va très bien, merci.
Anyway, Sarah speaks French, but is not from France. So I wanted Sarah here so she could tell us a little bit more about her past. Dun, dun, dun. You do not have to tell
us. This is strictly necessary.
you don't have to say everything. But tell me, why is it that you speak French?
Well, my mother, of course, is French. She comes from the Touraine region, and I was born in Vendôme.
Okay.
My father, however, is Belgian, and although his mother tongue was Flemish and he was schooled in Dutch, he studied French and Spanish and Latin.
So French was not his first language?
No, it wasn't, but it was the tongue that he spoke with my mother.
Ah, I see. And did he speak with an accent when he spoke French?
Well, I can't say that I would have noticed, seeing as I was brought up with him and that was my norm. Yes, I guess when we went to France, people were remarking on his Belgian accent.
Belgian accent. Mm. Okay. And do you speak Flemish?
Well, it's not Flemish that I speak. Flemish is a collection of dialects,
right,
from Flanders in Belgium. But really, I speak Dutch.
Dutch. But you've never lived in France, though you were born in Vendôme. Never lived in France.
That's right, I haven't. But France for me is the country of many summer holidays. We actually lived in the Congo.
Congo. Tell me a little bit about Congo. So what language do we speak there?
Well, of course, I mean, there's many, many local languages, such as Chiluba, Kikongo, Swahili, Lingala, and many more. But the language at the time that was the unifying language was French, and that was a legacy of The colony.
But how did you, I mean, your family ended up in Congo? And when was that, during the 60s or?
Well, I arrived in Congo, was born in 66 and arrived in Congo at 3 months of age.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, it was definitely 66 and it was very turbulent at the start. So my parents then returned to Belgium for a brief spell and then went back and settled over there. And it very much had to do with my father being sent by the Belgian government on a cooperation project, which was a sort of an idea to help with the transition between the colonial time and the independence time. And for his part, he was working in education.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting. So does it mean that you moved back to Belgium once he was over with the project?
Well, I think after a few years, I was getting to the age where I needed to get to university, and certainly there weren't any universities there that mm-hmm. were considered to be good enough for prospects in Europe. And then one of my sisters, my younger sister, is an adopted child.
Right, from Congo?
From the Congo, oh, yes, wow. Originally.
Yeah, okay.
And to put it plainly, she was in danger of being kidnapped for ransom by members of her extended family at the time. And so the decision was made that, they should return.
Okay.
He asked to return. And
so though she had a family, how did you manage to adopt someone who already had a family? She didn't have any mother or father? Is it a sore subject or should I ask?
It's a little complicated and I'm not so sure that I want to give too much detail without her consent.
Yes, but, no, that's fine.
To cut a long story short, she was a daughter of neighbours of ours when we lived in Kananga, which was in the Kasai region of the Congo. And her father, although Congolese, had actually adopted the Muslim faith and had therefore decided to marry four wives.
Right.
Okay. And my sister was the fifth child of the youngest wife.
Right, okay.
And unfortunately, her mum, for lack of medical care, died of eclampsia.
Right.
Whilst giving birth
when she was obviously delivering the baby.
Yes, and she was therefore premature. So right. She was 7 months.
Okay.
At birth.
Oh, wow.
And the other wives were already far too burdened with poverty and too many of their own children to be able to care for the baby. So the father then asked my parents if they could possibly keep her alive, maybe even nurse her back to health. And a year later, the decision was made that she ought to stay with us.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a beautiful story. What is your sister's name?
Butu.
Butu,
which,
okay,
funnily enough, means born after the twins. That's the traditional African name.
Okay.
But it also means Europe.
Oh, wow. And she obviously moved back to Belgium with you all.
Yes, of course, naturally. I mean, she was, as far as we were concerned, always my sister.
Absolutely. For you, that was...
And still is,
And still is. And lives now in Belgium.
Of course, okay, like all my other siblings.
So nobody lives in France. Though you have a French mummy, you all decided to live in France.
That's right. Belgium was
Belgium, yeah.
That my family certainly settled in.
Right. Okay. And your mum?
Though I only ever lived there for 4 years. I decided after 4 years that England was for me, really.
Okay. So Belgium is not the country where you live the most.
No, England is now.
England is. That's interesting.
England is now.
Okay.
Used to be Congo, but now it's England.
That's an interesting. And did you get to speak the local language of Congo, Congo, wherever you were?
I tried to learn a little bit of Lingala and I really enjoyed it and I wanted to, but then again, I always had an interest in languages, but it was very difficult actually because all of our Congolese friends came from different backgrounds and they all spoke their own Congolese languages and we were always surrounded by people who related in French to each other.
Yes.
And so it was difficult to pick up. Also, the fact that Congo is a dangerous place, so we weren't really free to move, and it was all very, supervised and orchestrated and organized. So I remember asking my parents if I could take lessons and so forth, and my father, bless him, decided that it wasn't necessary and that I'd be better off learning Dutch because then I could relate to my family abroad. Why he didn't think I could do both, I have no idea. But, and I foolishly believed him because I was a child.
Do you know what? My father is Italian and I don't speak a word of Italian. So there you go. I mean, you speak far more languages than I do in some ways.
I've got the books for Lingala at home and I do speak a little bit. But okay. I wish I had more time. And
before
do more.
We finish... Could you say something in Lingalanyonyon?
Well, I can say hello and goodbye.
Yeah, go on. How do you say goodbye in Lingala?
Tikalamalamo.
Tikalamalamo. Now, Sarah, thank you so much for this beautiful story and for taking part in my podcast. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank
Merci
you for
beaucoup.
Having me. Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir. Au revoir. À bientôt.
À bientôt.
Okay, guys, that's it for the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember that if you have any questions for us at all, I would be more than happy and bring my special guest such as Sarah along and we can answer any questions that you may have relating to France or the French language. That's it for me. Au revoir. À bientôt. Bisous, bisous.